Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about waiting because there's a lot of times that we have to do that. And last week, if you weren't here, we started a new sermon series based on the well-known and largely read book of Habakkuk. And if you were here, you know that I said I have a feeling most, if not all of us, we don't know much about this book or the prophet who wrote it. And hopefully if I ask you this morning, how much do you know, you would be able to say, I know more than I did last week. And the reason you know more is because you listened to an awesome message last week, either here or online, because remember, our sermons are online. You then read our email, which says, hey, read chapter 1, and to this week was please read chapter 2, and you did that. And some of you even went as far to sign up for the reading plan. How many of you signed up for the reading plan on the YouVersion? A few of you did. I got to tell you, it's awesome. I got a text from somebody and said, boy, this has been very helpful. It is not too late to be able to do that. You go to the YouVersion Bible app or just Bible.com and you can sign up for that. But because of those things, you have a great idea about what the book of Habakkuk is. So next week, before Sunday, please read chapter 3, and you'll be ahead of the game. So we're going to continue on, and we're going to take a look at chapter 2 this week. And we want to take a little look back just to bring some of you that weren't here up to speed where we are. Habakkuk asks the question that many of us have asked or have at least thought about. And the big question is that question I get asked a lot as a pastor, why? But this question wasn't to me as a pastor, it was to God himself. Why, God? Why are you doing or not doing what I know you could do? I know who you are, I know what you can do, and what I see going on does not make any sense. And what he saw going on caused Habakkuk to think that God was not fair. You're more than capable of taking care of this situation that we're in, but you're not doing anything about it, or at least you're not doing something that I think you should be doing. And so we watch him. We watch him express his doubts and his concerns. He embraced what he knew to be true about God, and we read that through chapter 1, all those places. But then he wrestled with what didn't make any sense to him. And we watched him embrace, we watched him wrestle. We watched him embrace, and we watched him wrestle. And we concluded we ended the message by saying, what if honestly acknowledging your doubts is the first step that God is asking you to take to move toward building a deeper faith, not pretending like it's not bothering you, but saying, God, I have these doubts. What if embracing your secret questions opens a door for a deeper maturing knowledge of who God is and his character? And what if drawing closer to God and developing this true intimacy with him requires you to bear something that feels unbearable? And a lot of times we talk about having to go through the trials of life, and the diamond, the hunk of coal, never becomes a diamond until what? Lots of pressure and heat over a long extended period of time. So God understands more than we can comprehend our pain and the difficulties. He desires that we're honest with him about what we're struggling with, but at the same time, embrace the truth about who he is. Because we can do that. It might feel like there's a tension, but that's what he asked us to do. You also remember that I said that this chapter one that we looked at last week, does not make a good sitcom sermon. And we said, a sitcom sermon, what is that? Well, sitcoms resolve all of life issues within 30 minutes, including commercials. Problems build up, and then there's resolve, and everybody goes home happy. And we said chapter one is not a sitcom because it wasn't resolved. He was still confused. Chapter 2 is not one either. So if you're looking for something to build up and we're going to have everything figured out, it's not going to do that either. So chapter 1 was all about wondering, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Chapter 2 is about waiting. Chapter 2 is about waiting. And wondering is hard enough, but I think waiting is even harder. Waiting is even more difficult. And Habakkuk cries out to God to deliver him, deliver the nation of Judah. And God responds, okay, I'm going to do something. But it turns out not to be what Habakkuk was ready to hear. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. And that sounds really good. Watch this, Habakkuk. I got this under control. It's going to be really big. It's going to be amazing. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians. Remember, Babylonians are bad. That's all you know about Babylonians. Babylonians are bad. They are ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. God says, I'm going to raise up your enemy. People who are even worse than you. I know that you're not as bad as they are. These folks are worse than you, and they're going to issue judgment on you. And this makes Habakkuk all upset. He's beside himself. It doesn't make sense. How many of us have struggled with that thought when you look at life situations? God, the death of my daughter doesn't make any sense to me. It does not make any sense. The death of my dear friend's spouse, after many, many years of being married, she dies of cancer. God, that doesn't make any sense. God, why does my friend who had cancer get healed and live life and all of a sudden gets it again and his family is now in a horrific car accident? That doesn't make any sense. And we could add all of our own little stories. There's more of those. So what do we do when we find ourselves there? When we're listening and God is telling us that he's going to do something that doesn't make any sense, what do we do? I think we find the answers to that in the second chapter of Habakkuk. And what I want to do, there's three different things that we'll take a look at that God's Word tells us. Actually, very specifically, three things that we see Habakkuk doing that when we're hurting and when we're wondering and when you don't know what to do, here's the instruction that we find in this. The very first thing we see is Habakkuk is going to listen to God. He's going to listen to God. Sounds pretty easy. All right, let's listen right now. Don't hear much noise. But he says, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Sounds easy. But how many people, maybe how many of us do we know, who have found themselves in a situation, they're listening for God, nothing happens to come, and they go, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if God really is in control. And I doubt God. And because of that, I've heard people say, I don't believe him anymore. I just quit on God. I'm not going to listen. I don't believe. I'm quitting. They quit on God, and that's not a good thing to do. Habakkuk doesn't do any of those things. Instead, what he does, he positions himself in the most strategic place to see the hand of God and to hear the voice of God. And that's what we see in verse 1 of Habakkuk chapter 2. He says, I'll stand my watch and station myself on the rampart. Have you guys been on the rampart this morning? I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure because I know someone's going, Wendell, what's a rampart? It's a hill that they would build and they would be behind it and they could watch the enemy coming. It was the most strategic place. They set themselves up to watch the enemy coming in. That's a rampart. He says, I watch and station myself there. I will look to see what he'll say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint, to all this stuff that's going on. He says, I'm going to watch and I'm going to listen. I'm going to be where God can speak to me. And I will look to see what you're going to say. And that's not easy to do when you're hurting. It's not easy. Because when you're hurting, what you want to do is you want to tell God exactly what he should be doing. Because we know so much better how to run our lives, don't we? We have it all figured out. And so we say, God, if you just listen to me, I'm going to tell you what to do. And God, if you don't, how in the world am I going to tell people that you're a faithful, loving God who takes care of his children? It's going to be really difficult for me to tell people about your goodness when you don't do what I think you're supposed to do. Nobody's ever said that to God, right? I've heard a couple people say that. Habakkuk, though, he gives us another option. Instead of telling him what to do at those times, he tells us it's important for us to listen. It's important for us to listen. Why should we listen? Let me tell you, here's why we should listen, because God is always speaking. God is always speaking. It might be a very still, and it might be a very quiet voice, but he's always speaking. In fact, he speaks to us in a number of different ways. The biggest way that he speaks to us is what? Anybody want to just say it real loudly? Loud. Through his word. He speaks to us through his word. And if you're a follower of Christ and you're not reading the Bible, if you identify yourself as a Christian and you're not reading the Bible, and you come up and tell me, I don't hear God speaking, I'm going to tell you, you'll never will hear him speaking probably. You've got to be in the word. You've got to be listening. You can get your big Bible out. You can pull out your tablets or your phone and download the YouVersion Bible app. Multiple different things you can do. But we need to get his word into our lives every single day. And he'll speak to you if you're listening. He'll speak to you. He'll also speak to you through the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, the scripture tells us the Holy Spirit comes into us and fills us. And remember, that's Jesus himself speaking to us words of encouragement and strength and conviction, all kinds of different things. But he's going to speak to us. He can speak audibly. Now, I've never heard him speak audibly. I've heard people who said they've heard him. I've never had that happen. But he'll speak to you in your soul and your spirit, sometimes in ways that are going to be much louder than even audible words. He'll also speak through people who love you enough to be able to come up and say, you know, just for some reason, God's asked me to share this with you. And you have no idea that those little words can make such a difference in the life of your friend. He can speak through the music that the worship team sings. He can speak through a message. He can speak through someone's testimony of God's goodness. God is always speaking. I want you to say this with me. God does speak to me. God does speak to me. Exactly. Now, if he doesn't, or at least you don't think he is, and because you're not hearing it, don't panic. Just because he's silent doesn't mean he's absent. God is also has a perfect time for this. He's always with us, and we need to just listen for the voice. And as you're listening, another caution, you need to be very careful, because sometimes you might not like what he has to say to you. You might not like it. He might be telling you to get up and get off your chair and do something for God that he's asked you to do. He might tell you, I don't see you being obedient to the things that are important. I don't see you engaged in fellowship. I don't see you in the Word. I don't see you doing this. In fact, I have this a task for you in this assignment. And you go, wow, that's really scary. How am I going to do that? You might not like it. But we need to do exactly what Habakkuk did. I'm going to raise up your enemy. This is not exactly what he wanted to hear. And the people are really bad. They're not going to be good. And he listened. And he was able to say, that's not what I'm looking for. God asked you to do this, and you're going to do the opposite. God wants us to be listening. Now, you think of somebody who really had something that they wish could have been different. That was the Apostle Paul. If there's anybody who could have had a reason to be able to say, God, I deserve for you to listen to me, it would have been this guy. What did Apostle Paul do? He wrote the majority of the New Testament. He wrote all those books. And in 2 Corinthians 12, we find that he had this thing called what? A thorn in his side. Lots of speculation on what that meant. All kinds of different things. We don't know what it exactly is, but Paul begged and pleaded with God. How many times? 3 times. Take it away, take it away, take it away. But God didn't do that. He said no. And then this is what he says to Paul in verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is God, I will boast all the more gladly, this is Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now that's a statement of faith, isn't it? God didn't say what Paul really wanted him to hear. And if I was Paul, maybe if you were Paul, you could push back and say, you know what, I like power, that sounds. I like grace, that's really nice, but I need some power here. Peter, let's point out Peter. Peter needed some grace. He denied you. How many times? 3 times. Why don't you give him your grace, but give me the power. Take this thing away. Okay, God, how about Mr. Thomas? I'm not going to believe unless I see. He needs your grace. I need your power. I need you to take this away from me. You remember, I was beaten. I was flogged. I was left for dead. I was shipwrecked. I got bit by a snake. All those things. God, I need your power. And God says, nope. I'm going to give you my grace, and my grace is sufficient for you. What you want is not what I'm going to give you, but what I'm going to give you is so much better, which is really hard to understand at the moment. In hindsight is usually when we understand those things. So you might be in that place right now where you need God's power to do something for you. And God says, my grace is sufficient, and so you hold on to that, God's grace. Once we hear what he's saying, we need to do the second thing we see Habakkuk saying in verse 2. He says, write it down. Write it down. How many of you journal in any way? How many of you take some notes maybe when you're reading and praying? Well, many of you do. This Habakkuk tells us, we record what God says to us. And in verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it.'" Jot it down. Document it, record it, write it down. Why would we do that? Well, I say many times here, we have very good forgetters. And we forget very quickly. But not only do we have very good forgetters, we also have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, called the devil, Satan, the adversary, whatever it is we call him. And his main goal, his goal in life is to kill, steal, and destroy. And our enemy wants to take away from us anything that God gives to us, which might be just a moment of peace in the midst of a trial or a struggle. And what he comes in, he's just going to just distract us and help us to forget. And God, at moments, will give us the peace that we need. He'll give us the grace that we need. And the evil one comes in, and he wants to take it away from us. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you come, and maybe this morning you've come in, and the worship that we've sang just have lifted you up. You heard something from Eva and encouraged you to think about missions. So far, you thought, boy, yes, I know that God speaks to me. I'm going to listen to you. You get done, and you go out, and you go, wow, what a service. And then you get in the car, and the kids are in the back, and they're fighting, and he's in my space, and she's in my space, and he's touching me, and you draw the line, and you put the brakes on, you put the brakes on very slowly, pull over to the side of the road, and have a conversation. And by the time you get home, you go, did God do something? And you forget. Anybody have that issue ever? Don't put your hands up, because your kids are right next to you. That wouldn't be very nice. And kids, maybe you have that with your parents. You go to Sunday school. But the reality is the devil wants to take it away. Satan wants to take it away. So Habakkuk, God tells Habakkuk, write it down. Document it. Put it on paper. Put it in Evernote. Put it in OneNote. There's all kinds of applications that you can use to be able to do that. Go back to it. So that's the great thing about it. If you can go back to it, you can believe it again, you can claim it, and you can embrace it, and you can live in it, and you can tell the devil that he needs to leave you alone and to go away. Even when things aren't looking good, you can say, no, this is what's true, and this is what I'm going to hold on to because I can go back and read it. And one of the things I do is I open up my Bible program, and I do it on my tablet. I open up the scripture reading out of my YouVersion app. I go to another Bible app that I use to read. But I have a note program that I copy it and I put it over there. And when I get done reading, I go through those key verses and say, God, help me remember those things. And then I try to look at it at the end of the day, and that doesn't work all the time. But it's so powerful to go back and say, oh yeah, God, this is what you said to me. So I encourage you, and start journaling. Maybe it's just a couple thoughts, but write it down, put it down. And then the third thing, the last thing is really where it gets kind of tough. This is where it's hard. This is when it's no fun. And it might be where some of you are this morning. You've listened, and God has spoke. You have written it down, and then God tells you to wait. I want you to wait. I want you to wait. Okay, God, oh, thank you. That's awesome. I love waiting. I'm going to have you wait. And then you wait, and you say it with me, wait. And wait, and wait. Wondering is no fun. God, what are you doing? But waiting is even worse. Waiting is tough. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you look at your situation and say, you know what, will my kid ever come back to Christ? We raised them in the church, and they loved you at one point, and now they're adults, and they seem to have walked away. I've prayed for healing for my friend or for my spouse. And Lord, I know you heard me. You've heard the cry of my heart because I do it every day, but I'm waiting. Lord, my marriage is not where it's supposed to be or where I want it to be. And I've prayed and prayed and prayed and waited. You spoke to me to hang in there, but it doesn't seem to be getting any better. God, am I ever going to get benefits at my job, or am I ever going to get a job? You're going to stop these migraines, whatever it is. And you wait. And you wait. You take a look at what God's word says to us in verse 3. He says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." Though it linger. Get the idea of just lingering, just waiting and waiting and waiting. What does it say to do when when things seem to be stalled and they're not going our way? It says to wait for the appointed time, God's time, and it will come to pass. So just be patient. So what's the appointed time? The Hebrew word means the perfect, unstoppable timing of God. When it happens, then you know it was God's appointed time. You can't tell him to move it up. You can't tell him to stop it. It's going to happen at the right moment. So thought about that a little bit. What's the appointed time? It's kind of like when you ask someone who's pregnant, when are you due? Well, the doctor said in about 3 weeks. You wake up one morning and all of a sudden you go, it is the appointed time. And the baby comes. You can't stop it. You can't keep it from happening. You can't make it happen on your own, but the appointed time comes. And that's exactly what God tells us. In the midst of our waiting, there's an appointed time that he is going to be at work. And Habakkuk says, though it linger, wait for it. Wait for God's perfect timing. It may look like and feel like that God is not doing anything, and you're probably going to get impatient, but remember that God's delays are not denial. They're not denial. Though it linger, wait, and God's appointed time will come to pass. In our passage, of course, we see that Habakkuk is just totally beside himself. He's very concerned about these Babylonians who are very, very bad. And are they going to get their due? It's always funny. We're always more concerned about somebody get their due than we are, aren't we? We forget that we aren't all that good all the time. But here, of course, Habakkuk is very, very concerned. And if you look at verse 6 and 9 and 12 and 15 and 19 of the passage in chapter 2, we have here what's called the five woes of Babylon. And if you go through and you read each of those places, it tells what's going to happen to Babylon. God has got it all figured out. He's got it all taken care of. They're going to get theirs. Because why? Because God's a just God. And all you have to do, Habakkuk, is wait. Waiting is hard. Not knowing what's happening creates confusion. And then God responds, and God acknowledges the Babylonians are evil. And then we come to verse 4. It says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. And then God does something that's very profound. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. So he's pointing out all the stuff that's going on with the enemy. He says, a faith that's built on God's faithfulness. Because God is faithful, because God is who God is, what can we do? We can trust him. Might not make sense, but we can trust him. We find it in the script in New Testament, and there's three different places, but here's Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, it's his righteousness, is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Why can we walk by faith? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And as New Testament believers, we, the righteous, live by faith. It says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And our faith is not based on what we can see or what we can do or getting even our desired outcome. Our faith is based on the character and the goodness and the nature of God. Even though I don't see with my eyes, I fight God to trust you because it goes against everything within me. Even though everything I want to do, you're not doing, I wait, and I wait for your goodness. I wait for your glory to be revealed, because ultimately, it's not about us even getting what we want. It's about bringing God glory that we can point to him, that this is because of who God is that this thing is taking place. So, of course, Habakkuk is just all kinds of disturbed and confused. And then we find Habakkuk reminding himself, embracing what he knows to be true at the very end of the chapter. After you get through all those woes, you come down to verse 20. And it says, the Lord is in his holy temple. He's reminding himself. Let all the earth be silent before him. Another translation says this, but the Lord. Even though I don't get it, even though things aren't going the way I think they should, I remind myself that God is in his holy temple. And no matter what I see, I choose by faith to do and believe that he is in control. I trust him. You remember I said that Pastor Craig Rochelle is the pastor of Life Church, and this series is based on a book that he wrote, Hope in the Dark, Believing God is Good When Life Is Not. And of course, it was a book that he wrote based on Habakkuk. And he wrote it for a friend who was struggling, going through a hard time. And ultimately, God used the book for his own life as he struggled with his daughter's suffering. This is an adult daughter. Her name is Mandy. And I just want to wrap up by reading a discussion that he had with her. And maybe this will just kind of fit where you are. But he says, this is from the book there. Mandy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud. I know that when God allowed this, then there was a pause. When I said the word allowed, she kind of tensed up. And I just kept talking. I said, I know that God allowed this in your life, but the way you're enduring it honors God. Your faith is so strong, and you're enduring it with such integrity. And she said, Dad, I just have to stop you. Your theology is off. Oh, it is, young one. Correct my theology, sweetheart. Of course, he's pastor and all this stuff. She said, I don't say that God is allowing this in my life. She said, do you see the difference I'm able to make in so many people's lives? Like, literally, she's ministering to thousands of people online. She posted in a blog. As she's hurting daily, she's ministering. She said, no, I believe God chose me for this because he knew that he could be glorified through it. And then she said, Daddy, I'm not enduring. Enduring is passive. Something's happening to me, and I'm just hanging on to it. She said, Daddy, with everything in me, I'm embracing this. I'm embracing this. I want you to think about what you are dealing with that's really hard. And I want you to be able to think about, can you say those words, I'm embracing this, and believe by faith that God can use this for his honor and his glory. I think it's pretty profound when we get to that place. If you remember, last week we talked about Habakkuk's name and what it meant. It means to wrestle and to embrace. Wrestle and embrace. Wrestle what's crazy and embrace on what we know to be true about who God is. Chapter 2 is waiting. Don't quit on God in the waiting. Though it linger, wait for the appointed time. You can't force it. You can't stop it. When it's God's time, he's going to bring it to pass. I wish I could tell you every bit of me. I have more in me that says, Lord, just do what you need to do. There's many more times that I'm telling God what I think he should do, but it never really works that way. Just go ahead and wrestle. Don't let God go of God. Don't quit God. He's very, very faithful. So we're going to look at chapter 3 next week. I'm not going to tell you what it's about so that you come back and listen. I would encourage you to read chapter 3. And if you're really struggling, would like to pray with somebody and say, you know, I just need help to hang in there in these moments, we'd love to be able to pray with you. So I invite you to come up after service. But when we stand up, and I want to dismiss us with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we love your word. Lord, not easy words for us to hear, that there's times when everything looks like it's falling apart and the pain is so intense and so hard, confusion. Lord, in those moments, I pray that we would not quit on you, but we would hold on to you, that we would just look and remember the things that are true about you and be honest about the difficulty of it and wrestle with it. And then, Lord, we would just look, we would listen, and we'd write down and be reminded of who you are. Lord, we remember that it's your faithfulness that because of who you are, we can step out in faith. Lord, I pray for anyone who's in the middle of really difficulty. They will just know your love. Lord, we as a church family could come around them and love them as well. So thank you, Jesus. As we go from here, may we be shining lights for you. We might reveal you to a world who needs to see how much you love them and how perfect you are. And it's your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thank you so, so very much.